Church, let's remain standing as we go into a time of scripture reading. Today's scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 11:30. Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. This is the word of God. Church, please be seated. Today, let's welcome Pastor YC.
Thank you. Thank you, Church. Just want to thank you, everyone, for your care and concern for me. Just to report to all of you, my health is getting better, surely and slowly. So appreciate all the, some of them give me some ointment, recommend some body wash over that. I really appreciate that. And I don't just receive that as information, but I receive that as a concern and your love for me and my family. So thank you for loving me, and I love you very much too, okay? Okay. Just a little sweeter one. So today we'll talk about, continue the journey of faith, and in Hebrews 11, we're talking about Joshua, the faith that defeated Jericho. I wonder, as a Christian, you ask, sometimes you may ask your life, you know, what is it about Christianity? Saving from the power and the dominion of sin so that I can be free from the accusation, so that I can get a ticket to go to heaven? And beyond that, what's that I'm looking for on earth? Or is that just wait, you know, just go through my life as usual, and then one day I go to heaven? Is there anything that God wants us? And is there anything that you know deep in your heart, the desire, that you know there's something that God has promised and God wants you to have? Something good, something best for you. But somehow the enemy take hold of that. And it's not belong to you now, it belongs to the enemy. It could be something of guilt, something that you have done in the past that you cannot kind of, you know, chase it away. Or something that you look at yourself and say, that I'm no good enough, you know. I cannot have this. No, I will never able to have this, you know. It's beyond me. Or something that you look forward to, but you know that there's something in you, your inadequacy, maybe your some of the issue with your self-identity that you find that is something that it is too big a giant for you to kill in order to have the promised land that God has promised you. I guess many of us, including myself, we do have that some point or another. You shall marry. You say, why married life like that? I thought married life is wonderful, 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 fluffy, with a bit of roses. And why so much heartache sometimes? Okay, oh, parents supposed to be enjoying, enjoying, enjoying. Why I'm losing all my sleeps? And how do I enjoy when I don't even have enough sleep? But you begin to experience a different level of satisfaction, a different level of fulfillment, that truly that is abundant life. Abundant life, not that you're Mercedes and you're 5 condos, that is not abundant life. It could be part of your abundant life. But when Jesus talked about, in me, I will give you abundant life. That abundant life is something that you hold deeply in you and you can walk with your head held high. I think this is what it is. And then today I want to share with you, how does the faith of Joshua in defeating Jericho help us as a church and individual to overcome the giant that may stand, or that castle, the very fortified castle that before us, that seems to be impossible for us to conquer, and yet we can by the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So this is ancient Jericho, something like this. It gives you a thing. So it's about, the wall is very high. It's stated that about 8, they say that the archaeologists say there's about 8.5 meters high, with a thickness of about 1.5 to 2 meters. Can you imagine? So there's surrounding. So during that time, a few hundred years, 1,000 years BC, you realize that that is a remarkable civil structure. And that's why, you know, it was touted as one of the safest city, and no one can really break through into them. So the people who live in Jericho feel very safe. All right. So now, we know that Joshua, after leading Moses passed on, Joshua leading the Israelites, and they have crossed the river of Jordan. Do they want to cross the river of Jordan? There are questions. Do they really have the desire to cross the river of Jordan? Do you really have the desire in you? Some like Christian, we may lose even the desire. But you realize the first crossing of the Red Sea is done during Moses' time. That's for the first generation Israelites. And all of them died in the wilderness. And this is a second generation Israelites who are raised in the wilderness. So they have never walked through the dry land on the Red Sea. But now they get to walk through the dry land of Jordan River. And they were entering. The opening of the parting of the Red Sea is deliverance. Because Egyptian, the Pharaoh, are chasing after them. So they were stuck. So God had to open a way for them to escape or to deliver them. So God called Moses to be the deliverer. But God didn't call Joshua to be the deliverer. He called Joshua to bring them into the promise and to lead them into abundance, to lead them into the land that filled with milk and honey. That is it. The parting of the sea may look alike, but the meaning behind it is way different. We are not just escaping from somebody chasing. No one is chasing after Israelites at the other side of Jordan. But God asked them, you must cross, because that's where you're supposed to be. There, the Jericho, it belongs to you. It doesn't belong to the Canaanite. Yeah, it was. Just as a certain part of your life, it belongs to you. Supposed to be healthy, strong, you're able to enjoy abundance. Somehow over the years, the Canaanites has taken root and they built a great stronghold in that part of your life that you dare not even cross the Jordan River to take it back. Because God has promised that for you, but you don't believe you can have it back for yourself. We're going to continue on. So faith, we want to learn from the experience of this, the crossing and the defeating of the city of Jericho. First, faith that sees. Very important. Faith sees. That's why in Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is the what? The evidence of things unseen. So faith, open your eyes to see. People cannot see, but you can see. Because you have the Spirit of God, because you have the Word of God in you. So what does faith see? Faith sees God's will and promises. Okay, let's look at this. In Joshua 6:1, 2, it says that, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Wow, they were scared of Israelites, right? That's why they barred. And no one went out and no one came in. Such a strong city, but in fact, afraid of the whole bunch of Israelites who were not even trained military. They would just live in the wilderness before, right? Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hand along with its king and his fighting men. When God asked Joshua to see, has that happened yet? No. The tower is still very strong up there. He said, I have delivered to you, past tense, right? I have delivered, past participle, right? I have delivered. Happened and continue to happen. Right? So this is what it says. But what did Joshua think? Wow, he said, God said, I've given that to you. I'll give you abundant life. Abundant life? How? I've given you abundant life. You've given me abundant life? You look at yourself. Not yet, leh. I don't feel the abundant life. I don't have Jericho, leh. Jericho wall is not crumbling down in front of me. Not yet. But God said, I have delivered you. Do you think that you have been delivered from the power of sin? You think that God has delivered you and have led you into the life of abundance? Do you have the faith to cross the Jordan River when the Lord leads you? Do you have the faith to perform what God asks you to do? To prepare yourself for the battle, to have the circumcision at Gilgal, and then to follow God's instruction to take down the city of Jericho and claim that as the promise of God for your life. So we know that sometimes we cannot see something. Imagine, you know, this big city, strong fortified city, how can it be delivered to me and the king and all the mighty men of the Jericho? I did not see it, but God said, see, I've delivered to them. So sometimes God help us, you know, for the sake of sometimes our weaknesses, our lack of faith, or whatever you call it, God help us. That's why at the beginning, Joshua sent the two spies over to cross the Jordan River and to spice up the place, especially Jericho. And then came to Rahab, you know, Rahab the lady, the prostitute, who actually kept the spies from the hunt of the Jericho king. So in verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, you know, which Rahab hid them, went up on the roof and said to them, this is what Rahab said, remember? A local Jericho resident, okay? He said that, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. The Israelites are fearful how to take down Jericho, but the people in the Jericho are fearful of Israelites. So who is afraid of who? Continue. It says that we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of Amorites and of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our heart melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Dear brother and sister, our God is not just a God who will meet you in heaven alone. He is with you on earth every day of your life, in your family, in your study, in your heartbroken moment, in your time of rejoicing. He is with you. Our Lord God is a God in heaven above and also on earth. Say to your neighbor, God is on earth with us. Yes, God is on earth with us. Not just wait to see God in heaven. Right, so you realize that when the spies relay the message to Joshua was strengthened. Wow, they're afraid of us. We can take them down. They didn't even know that we are going to take them down. Right, they even say that God has given this, their place, their country, or this city to Israelites. In chapter 2, verse 8, okay, continue. In chapter 3, you realize that then Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, Jebusites, and we always add the last one called the mosquito bites, right? See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. How do you know? Because this is how you know that God is going to drive out your enemy and his enemy as well. And this is how you know that the Lord is with you. That's chapter 3. And we come to chapter 5. He said, now when all the Amorites kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanites kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up Red Sea? No. Has dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face it. He said, you don't have the courage. You know, all the army boys will know. What's the most important thing in warfare? In fighting a war, the battle, the morale of the soldiers. You may have all the things like Ukraine versus Russia, right? The morale of Ukraine is high because they're fighting for survival, not the aggressor. Those Russian being listed people don't want to go and fight Ukraine, but the Ukraine people fight like crazy for their own country. The courage to face, they have no more courage to face the Israelites. So we see that faith sees. Do you see what God has promised in your life? Is a lot of them are written in the Bible. So when you read the Bible, you know. Just we sang songs, you know, we pray prayer. We know. God said, my peace I leave with you. In the world you have tribulation, but in me you have peace. God said, I'm with you to the end of the ages. I'm with you. God said that do not worry about tomorrow. Look at the river valley. Look at the sparrow and the lily of the valley. Aren't you worth more than that? Do you see it? That you're worth more than the sparrow? You see it? You say, amen. I say, yes. God's will and his promise. So it's go beyond that. You see, what they see is what is about to happen. And then through some confirmation and evidence of the people and the report of the people, it gives you some courage to face a problem. But that is not the real crux of matter. The real crux of matter is because God has determined it to be so. And God has a plan. Back in Exodus, when God called Moses in the burning bush incident, he said, go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appear to me and say, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and a land flowing with milk and honey. So you realize that at the very beginning, God's promise is just to not deliver us from sin, not deliver from captivity, from your addiction. But it's not just that, just to set you free and then free to do what? God is bringing us out so that we can enter in to the abundance life. So that's why I say that the land of Canaan, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. So
In fact, it got even before that. What did he say Moses told Moses about that? In fact, that was being promised to Abraham, right? He said, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendant, and after you for the generation to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendant after you, and I will be their God. See that? You just see the evidence. But God's word promises stays. So why sometimes we need to go back and see what God is doing, what God is saying before? It's important. Why history is important? We say history repeats itself because we didn't learn about, we don't learn from history. History is important. Do a history teacher here? History is important, right? Because we learn. So the Bible tells us not just the New Testament. That's why you have Old Testament to tell us. Not just the New Testament. Why talk about before Jesus' birth? Don't talk about before Jesus' birth. Jesus has come. Just talk about New Testament, Matthew onwards. But you realize that the writing in the Old Testament is much, much more than the writing of the New Testament. Why? For our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see that? So you see, even for the church, you don't look at, oh, now I'm the pastor, I do whatever I want. No, you look at the church. I just started in Holy Grace Church as a Chinese congregation. How we develop? You see the hand of God. We are not here to reinventing. We are here to continue to realize, to fulfill what God has planned for us. So it's not your ambition, my ambition, your plan versus my plan. But it is what God wants. And we will do it as He will for us. So first, faith sees. Second, faith obeys. Act in unity. You realize that in the whole process, they act in unity. And unity needs discipline. Many people don't like discipline. But discipline means what? Comply to instruction. Soldier, wake up example at 5 a.m. Make sure you are there. All right? That's comply to instruction. Discipline. Not easy, but it is necessary for them to experience that. Okay, so each are on their task. So they have the priest, they have the ark bearer, they have the armed guards, they have the rear guard, and the people as well. So what do? They need to repeat the action of going and circling the city of Jericho 6 days. Every day do the same. All right? And then, during the 6 days, they're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to let a single word out until the very last round of the 7 day. Only they're allowed to shout. Okay? The shout of victory. All right? So this is what they need to do. Just wondering why they don't allow them to shout or to say a word. Why? Being Singaporean, I think we can relate even better, right? Are you sure? You begin to doubt, right? Like that, round, 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 can meh? Like that, have this kind of program, can meh? People will come to know the Lord, man. Like that, we will win. You have a lot of things. Because we think this is not logical. The way of the Lord is higher than our way. The law of the way of the Lord is something that beyond our rationalization. It's beyond sometimes even our belief. 100 years old Abraham can give birth, man. Sarah already past the age of childbearing, can still give birth, man. A virgin young girl can give birth, man. What is a lot of man that you ask? Here you see that it is. If you were to question, you have to ask, all that we will be complaining, and we will be just utter words of disbelief. But what did Mary say when the Gabriel angel said to him, be it done unto me, your servant, as the Lord pleased? Cannot lah, must be wrong lah. Why choose me to be the DGL? I'm no good lah, that person, or this or that. We can have all these things. Cannot lah, Geylang no good. This thing, if you move to a better place, it's easy to attract people lah. Again, we're not in a very strategic location for a church. And surrounding Geylang, there are 50 churches, how to grow 2x in 5y. We can have many of this. But one thing we need to learn, if it's for the Lord, it is of the Lord. Then we follow, and then we begin to experience Him. Okay? So go around 7 times on the 7 day, only shout on the 7th time. And then the city are devoted to total destruction. This is something that very unique to the Old Testament. So they say devoted to the Lord. In other words, everything within them, all their living thing killed. And then they only take what is the silver, gold, bronze, and iron into the treasury of the Lord. Right? So because they were so evil that the Lord would not keep any one of them. Chinese say 斩草除根, you know, even the young, the old, everyone, even the cattle and the sheep, everything gone. Right? And then they're not supposed to take of the devoted thing. Now you did in Joshua 6. You read Joshua 7, the battle in Ai, you realize that because Achan took something of the devoted thing, and then what happened? The whole Israelite, they suffered defeat. So do not do that. Okay? This is what the instruction given. And then Rahab and all who are with her in her house shall be spared. That was the instruction. And true enough, when they, you know, when the wall collapsed, they went in and special instruction was given, you know, for the two spies to, you know, to bring up Rahab and the family. Okay? So there is a God's way, there's my way. You can choose which way you want to do. In fact, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, at the end of it, it's very interesting, you read. After he had led the Israelite victory after victory, except only one failure and I. Everything is victory. At the end of it, when he's old, he tells the Israelites, now you guys choose. You want to serve God or you want to serve the God that beyond the river, which is the, you know, before that. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You still have a choice to serve. After witnessing battle after battle, and they collected so many land, and they divided themselves and their plots of land, and they already witnessed to the power of God and the presence of God in their life. And yet Joshua gives them the choice. Choose for yourself who you want to serve. The God beyond the river or Jehovah. You make a choice. You can come to church for 10 years, 20 years. Do you follow Jesus? But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is it. God's way, oh, your way. The way of God is not our way. If you were allowed to talk and have a committee meeting, I tell you, we'll be all vote against the plan. What? Go around 7, 6 times not allowed to talk, then 7 down, shut, no wall come down. Never. We don't have any precedent of such warfare strategy. We will not. Because God is a God who do new thing every time with his unchanging character of faithfulness. So say, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay, Matthew 7, you know. James says that, what? But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continuing in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. So you're not blessed with what you believe, you're blessed with what you do. So true faith, so what is true faith then? Faith is only real when there is obedience. That's why the Israelites are very obedient to the instructions that are given to them, that they will go around the city 6 times, 7 times. Never without it, and faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience. Remember 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Jesus did not take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and suddenly, boom, become 5,000 loaves. In front, wow, 5,000, everybody can see the 5,000 loaves. It's not. It was given to the disciple. As a disciple, go around and give. The miracle happened. Why? Because out of the obedience to distribute, and it doesn't fail. The bread doesn't fail. The fish doesn't fail. Does the people eating them know about it? Where the fish and the loaf come from? They do not know about it. But the obedience of the disciple doing that makes the miracle happen. That is true faith. It's not like Jesus suddenly turned the 5 loaves into a heap of buns, and then you come and collect, everyone come to the pile of buns and collect it for yourself. It doesn't happen that way. Sometimes you want it to happen that way. But God does not. God said you come, you obey, and you will see. I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer get that on the spot. Faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience. And the true faith of believing that God will deliver Jericho into the hand of Israelite is for them to obey. Do some very silly, stupid thing called rounding, encircling the city. That's it. Not with sword, with trumpet. What? As I say, no precedent military strategy of such sort. But it's God. He is God. Remember that. Okay, we move on. So at the end, you realize that the faith bears witness or testifies to what? To God's victorious battle plan. So it's God who did this. So the Israelites know very well that this war, as much as they participate in the war, just like you serve in the ministry, but the success comes because of the Lord. Because the way of the Lord. So the Lord gave us the opportunity to participate. So the Lord gave the Israelites the opportunity to experience and to know who He is. Now, why all this thing? Because sometimes for us, it's very hard to impress upon our life, impress upon our hearts something deep. We are all forgetful beings, right? We after something, we forget. But God wants to impress upon them. You have to know me afresh. Do you know God afresh? Year after year, months after year, month, weeks after weeks. Do you know God afresh? You only know God as very kind, very friendly, your old buddy. Do you know God is a very just God? He's a jealous God. He's a holy God who cannot tolerate even an inch of sin in your life. You have to know God in the fullness of Him. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you if you're humble enough to seek. So, what does it bear witness? Does Joshua take credit for the victory? Does all the Israelites take credit for the victory? In a way, they participated in the battle. They kill all the thing and bring back all the bronze and silver and things. Yes, they did that. But who gave the battle? Who gave them the victory? They all know in their heart. It is the Lord who gives us the victory. Just like now, you may be very successful, prosperous in your life. You know exactly. You're all because of my hard work. Because of, yeah, you are your hard work. But who give you all this? Who gives you a good health that you're not lying on bed for months? That you can continue to go work and go strong. And God give you good clients. You think all this come because of you? Or because of something that's beyond you, called God, His own goodness and mercy, give it to us. Your good family, thank God. Just because you're a very good way of raising up your kids. Often they ask me, hey, Pastor, not bad, huh, your family, huh? You raise up three kids. Ask my wife. I always tell them, not very good, but God's mercy and grace. As parents, after a while, you know, we can do only that little. But even that little, we still have to do. Imperfect as we are, we will make mistakes. We will do the wrong thing as well. We will even believe the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. But God, on His all-merciful hand, preserved. So who am I to say? No, I'm the best. You know, you want to know how to raise kids? You know, talk to me. You know, I give you 10 steps how to successful thing. We can give you some hint, or I mean, some tips here and there, but no guarantee. Seek the Lord. Seek Him. For everyone is different, and He will give you your better plan for your life. So Joshua, at the end, you find the witness is in. At the end of Joshua 21, it says, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their father. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. How we wish that happened to our life. The abundance, all the promises of God come to pass in our life. No cancer, no need to have a breakout already. No, I don't have all this problem. No death, no this, no that. How wonderful it is. But yet, God say, do you trust me? Do you really believe in me? Will you really go around and encircle your very, very strong enemy with my presence? And with your mouth shut. And do it again and again and again. Until I ask you to open your mouth. There's only when they open their mouth, it's a shout of victory. It's a shout of, you know, jubilant shout of victory. Okay. I'll just end with this simple one. Corrie ten Boom. Okay. In the First World War, he was Dutch, so he saved a lot of Jews. Was the Jews under the killing command of the Hitler to be wiped out? You know, he said that faith sees the invisible, faith believes the unbelievable, and faith receives the impossible. Is that happening in your life? If not, then today you go back and ask yourself, why have I been believing all this while? Why have I been seeing all this while? Why have I been receiving all this while? It's all within my plan and calculation. We like to control things. We don't like the thing out of control, not within our control. We want to control everything, our time schedule, our days, our that. But God say, I'm the God. So when God steps in, remember before Joshua want to go through want to fight, and then this man appear, and then Joshua realized it. Say, who are you? Are you for us? Are you against us? He said, no, I'm not for you, not against us. I am the commander of the army of God. So straight away, Joshua took off his shoe. He said, yeah. He said, take off your shoe. You're on holy ground. And listen, as much as they are leader in the church, we are follower of Christ. We are all follower of Christ. But God has placed Joshua there. God placed some of the leaders for you. It's to bless you. It's to guide you. Are they perfect? They are not perfect. But God still uses us and use every one of us so that he can realize his will for us. So what does faith that sees? Good, let's bring it back to agape. Okay, what does God's will for us? We believe that God has given us, you know, for years ago, you know, is it too small a thing for me and my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I've also made you a light of the Gentiles that my salvation may reach you. Do you believe that agape will do that one day? Secondly, are you able, because I believe that, then I'm able to enlarge, I have the faith to enlarge the place of my tent and let the curtains of my inhabitants be stretched out, and I will not hold back, I will lengthen my cords and strengthen my stakes, for I will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and my offspring will possess the nation and will the people, the desolate city. Do you believe that? It sounds like Jericho, there's no way we can reach. But God can, with him, all things are possible. So, possible? Yes, it's possible. It's a signpost for all of us. So, act in unity. So, you need to overcome faith, right? Overcoming faith. That's why Joshua needs to overcome. And God is helping him. You remember the story of Gideon? Gideon was called. When Gideon was called, he said, oh, I'm no good. I'm the least of the smallest of the smallest of the smallest tribe, the smallest clan, the smallest family. I'm the youngest guy. So I'm no good. God said, no, you're a mighty warrior. Come. Then after doing all these things, they're supposed to deliver, God called him to deliver Israelites from the Midianites. We have been oppresses them. And then he doesn't even have done so much thing for God already, but he still have this lingering thing that sure not, sure that we can fight Midianites, sure we can win. God say, if you still have that doubt in you, why not tonight? Why not tonight you and your servant go down to the camp of the Midianite and hear what they say? And then when he went down secretly, you know, on stealth, and then listen, and one soldier, the Midianite soldier, say, hey, I have a dream. There's a big barley loaf that rolling down the hill and crash on our tent and all of us die. Then the other soldier say, oh, that seems to be what? I know what it means. Is nothing more than the Gideons and his sword. The Gideon is going to come and take us and we'll all die. Something like that. Wow, Gideon heard it. Say, wow, this is going to happen, you know? Just like that, what Joshua heard Rahab say. And that gave him strength. His arm, his hand was strengthened. And he's able to come back and then he rally the people and then take down the Midianite and deliver the Israelites. God is very merciful. God knows how little our faith are, but yet he's willing still to walk with us. So all this will just pass. So don't give up. Whatever you do, you don't understand, you don't quite, don't give up. I just shared in the first minute. When I came to Christ, I came to Singapore, I went to a church, a home church and a brethren church, you know, they're everything free and full in the spirit. I don't know what they're talking, I don't know. There's no agenda, there's no bulletin, nothing. Then go there Sunday after Sunday, listen to them very chim, don't understand, but I still go. I still remember one prayer meeting, I went there, and then everybody so quiet, so serious. Then I pretend praying, and then close my eye, look around. Wow, still praying. After 15 minutes, look around. Ah, nobody say a single word. Wow, very hard to pass, 1 minute, 2 minutes. After that, about an hour plus, suddenly the leader say, okay, this is the end of prayer meeting tonight. Huh? No, we say a prayer, end already. Then I need to take bus 74 from Ang Mo Kio back to Clementi, almost an hour plus. What is the takeaway of the meeting? Zero. I got zero takeaway for a year. Sunday service, prayer meeting, Bible study. We look for something that fit our mind. You can understand the Bible. You can do a lot of exercises of the Bible. That may be information that fit your mind. But God's word is to feed your soul. Do you come to church to get your mind filled with knowledge? You come to church because your soul needs to be fed. For 1 year plus, I go to the church. I went 3 times, Sunday service, every Wednesday prayer meeting, every Friday Bible study. I don't know why I didn't leave the church, the small group of people. I went there, I don't understand. You ask me every time, my takeaway is zero. You know why? After so many years, I realize. Because the spiritual things are spiritually discerned. It's not mentally discerned. It's not intellectually discerned. And I try to understand. I couldn't, because this is not. Remember God saying, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They're not information. They are not facts. They are spirit and they are life. So it feeds your soul. So my dear brothers and sisters, so you come to church today, you listen to my sermon, say, oh, what did I get? I got nothing. Your spirit are fed. So I was there for a year plus, day in, day out. And I don't get much off of it. And one day, I remember this particular day, it was just a normal service. And then the preacher preached. Suddenly at the end of it, something clicked in me. And I know that I know. Because I know that today I can really understand what he is preaching, what he is saying. I'm a slow learner, perhaps. But you guys are smarter and faster. What I try to say is that your heart needs to be right with God. And for that 1 year, God is not preparing my mind. You are preparing my soul and my spirit. When the time is right, my mind is able to perceive what he has for me. So I pray for all the young people. So when you come to church, yeah, we say good, after service, what's your takeaway? Share. Yeah, it's good there's some takeaway. But sometimes there's no takeaway. Yet, when you don't see things happening, it doesn't mean that God is not working. We always say that. So when you come to service, so do not say, oh no, I come to service, nothing, then after 2 times I'm going to change church. No. I was there for more than a year. Day in, day out. Don't know what they're talking about. Prayer meeting without any prayer I heard. Need to travel to and fro 3 hours journey. Worth it or not to attend such church? They asked me, I don't know why. But God has a plan for me. He kept me there because he knew that I needed it. And my spirit is fed. And when the time is right, he opened my eyes and I see. My mind can perceive. I can understand. May all of us, we can see things in life, as big as a city, as strong as the city of Jericho, it can be taken down because God says so. You want God to say that in your life? Whatever that came to catch you, whatever that belongs to, supposed to be your promised land, occupied by the enemy, God said, I want you to take them back and I'm fighting for you. But you must be willing to step out and circle it and trust that my way is higher than your way. And keep your mouth shut. And the moment they open their mouth, it's nothing but praise, it's nothing but praise and shout of victory. For us, it will be nothing of thanksgiving and praise and hallelujah. Because that is true. So I pray that all of us who have this experience in your life, if not, ask God for it. God, you are real. I want to be real too. Let's be real, God. And see how what God will answer you. I just skip this. So all the question marks that you may have,
through faith turn to all exclamation. Can work man this kind of Jericho plan? Can work man like that? Can work man? Can work man? Turn it into exclamation. Wow, wow, wow. How does it turn? By faith. And you multiply, and your life will be a life that will bear much fruits to the glory of God. So 2x5y. Okay, then we just skip. Time is up. So let's prepare our heart for communion. And before that, just recap, faith that sees God's will and God's promises. And then faith that obeys. Remember? Dietrich Bonhoeffer say, faith that only is true faith in the act of obedience. Don't tell me you have faith until you obey God. What God has tell you to do, do. Then faith that testify that our God is alive. And he does wonderful things. And he's a God of good, good, good Father. Amen. We sing the song, good, good, good God, good, good, good Father. Is that really real in your life? Can you sing it with that conviction? Can you take the bread and the cup with conviction? I'm truly saved, truly liberated, set free through Christ and Christ alone. Let's prepare our heart for the communion.